English language teaching under the cover.
Hello and welcome to ELT Under the Covers teaching methodology. In this video, we are going to be looking at an ancient teaching method of teaching languages called the audio-lingual method. But first, introductions. I'm Neil, our team teacher.
Hello everybody, it's Professor Rich.
So, audio-lingual method, what do you know about it, Rich?
Yeah, well, we had some experience with this, didn't we? And it's kind of interesting because this was back in like 2008, 2009, when we decided to drive to Spain. Mm-hmm. And we were both trying to learn a bit of Spanish. And we actually knew nothing about language learning back then. We weren't teachers. We'd done like a bit of short training, but we weren't sort of deep into it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just got these audio programs off the internet. The ones I remember are Pimsleur and mm-hmm. Learning Spanish Like Crazy. They were the ones that we tried. Yeah, and I really took these things to heart, and I was doing minimum 30 minutes every day. I tried to do an hour a day every day of these audio linguistic programs. I mean, I can explain the simple. You've probably got a little video where you go through what the audiolingual method is anyway, right?
Yeah, we'll look at that
essentially,
shortly.
Right, yeah. I mean, but we use these tapes anyway. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. I actually added my own extra steps, which I'll talk about after we've gone through the introduction as to what audiolingualism is. And it was quite interesting for me, actually, doing the audiolingual method, really liking it before I was a language teacher or anything, going to Spain, having people say, oh, your Spanish isn't too bad, even though I'd only been learning for 6 months on my own. Mm-hmm. That was it, you know. So I was nowhere near conversational or anything like that, but people were like, wow, 6 months, oh, that's really good. And then when I spoke to some teachers and some linguists about linguists, literally, like I remember there was this girl who was doing a PhD in philology or linguistics or something, you know, and I spoke about audiolingualism, she just like furrowed her brow and kind of was like, oh, that's an old, like, archaic, outdated method that, you know, is not really the thing that we do anymore, you know. And I was like, yeah, but it worked.
Yeah.
Really, it was amazing for me, you know. It worked, and I didn't need a teacher, I didn't have other people to speak to, and it really got me started. So that was really interesting for me, and in a way I wonder if that's kind of affected my whole attitude towards these methods that people will kind of turn their nose up at instinctively. But I sort of think, well, hang on a minute, because I know from personal experience that there can be value in these things. So we have to take a more balanced approach. Don't just write something off because it's older, because it's not the done thing today. There may still be interesting things going on with that. Maybe it's personality dependent. Maybe it depends on the time and the situation you have at the moment and whether you have access to a teacher and whether you're a good student or whether you are good at self-study and things like that. Well, we can talk about all that. I think it's at this stage, maybe we should jump in and see.
No, that's a great little intro, and our first introduction to kind of language learning. And you know, for myself, I found it to be really difficult because it was a lot of autonomous learning, and it didn't chime with me. But I do it more recently because I'm doing more with the Cantonese and Chinese, and there's limited resources, and the ones that are tend to be audiolingual because they're older. So I'm kind of getting into that a little bit more, but I have my own little method around that, and I, you know, I can share that in the same way that you can share yours later. But we've just been talking about audio lingual as kind of the way that the most modern people experience it through these audio books, audio courses. They tend to have that structure. But it's actually a structure, a method that's used in class. It's used by the army. It's used by many governmental agencies. And it could be a little bit different when it's in class. So I think now would be a good point to jump in and have a little bit of a deep dive into the background of audio lingualism. The audio lingual method, ALM, also known as the Army method or New Key, is a method used in teaching foreign languages. It is based on behaviorist theory that people can be trained through a system of reinforcement. So if there is correct use of the language, the learners receive positive feedback. If there's incorrect use of the language, then the learners receive negative feedback. Carrot and stick, basically.
What's your name?
My name is Asha.
Okay, now you have to ask the same question to him. Okay.
What is your name?
My name is Vishudhakar Guru.
This approach to language learning was similar to another earlier method called the direct method. Like the direct method, the audio lingual method advised that students should be taught language directly, without using the student's native language, but to explain new words, vocabulary, or grammar in the target language. However, unlike the direct method, the audio lingual method did not focus on teaching vocabulary. Rather, the teacher drilled students in the use of grammar.
We're going to have a conversation with these two persons. This is Pat and this is Tom. Yeah? They are going to say hello and I want you to listen. Look at this. Hi, Tom. Hi, Pat. How are you? I am fine, thank you. And you? I am fine. Yeah, where are you going? I am going to the cinema. Okay? Now you are Pat and now you are Tom. Okay.
Hi, Tom.
Listen and repeat.
How it works is the teacher presents a correct model of a sentence and the students would then have to repeat it. The teacher would then continue by presenting new words for the students to use in that same structure. In audio lingualism, there is no presenting explicit grammar instruction. Everything is simply memorized in form. The idea is for the students to practice the particular structure until they can use it spontaneously. So a lot of repetition. The lessons are built on static drills in which the students have little or no control of their own output. The teacher is expecting a particular response, and not providing the desired response will result in a student receiving negative feedback. Okay, so there you see with the classroom, little classroom bit there, it's quite different because there's a lot of puppets and physical representations of people, because they're doing the conversation, right? And they're like, this puppet, but hello, how are you? I'm very good, thank you. I know it kind of looks a little silly, but it helps guide people, you know, to who's saying A and who's saying B. But yeah, it's a little bit different, but it's not that far off the audiobooks.
It is very different, actually. And it's a little bit, there's things I didn't realize about it, even though I have actually studied briefly the audio linguistic method as part of my teaching diploma. So I didn't realize that L1 use was taboo. I actually thought audio lingualism did integrate L1 usage, because obviously the recordings that we had, they did use L1. They explained things in L1 and they said, you know, how do you say I want a beer in Spanish? Yeah. Quiero una cerveza. Right. Okay. Now, how do you say I want a beer, please, in Spanish? Oh. Quiero una cerveza, por favor. Right. Mm-hmm. oh, and how do you say, I want, I remember it always had weird stuff in there, didn't it? Like, and now how do you say, I want three cats in Spanish? You know, quiero tres gatos, right? It actually has stuff like that, didn't it? Do you remember that? It had like weird, yep. All this weird stuff in it. And now how would you say, you know, where are the dogs, please? ¿Dónde están los perros, por favor? You know, and you would give your answer and then you would have the kind of native person give the answer afterwards. And then the idea was that you sort of correct your pronunciation and correct your form after each one. So that's interesting. The carrot and stick thing I found interesting as well, because obviously with audiolingualism, it's a self, you have to do the carrot and stick. So I do remember actually, like when I got it right, I'd be like, yeah, this is good, you know, and it felt good and I liked it. Mm-hmm. And I liked going through the kind of mental process of like, okay, the next sentence might be, oh, they want three dogs, you know, and then you're like, oh God, how do I say they want? Because that's different than I want in Spanish, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember going through and working with it and just doing these activities again and again and again. And definitely the speaking element was definitely, it was a big element, you know, it really differentiated it from just sitting down with a textbook and doing exercises. You know, it made it, you're speaking, you're listening. And I really liked that element of it. So I found it interesting that they don't use translation in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And really it makes it seem like those audio recordings, they're almost like a hybrid between the kind of Michelle Thomas method and audiolingualism. It was like audiolingualism plus Michelle Thomas, somewhere in the middle was those like learning Spanish like crazy and Pimsleur, which mm-hmm. is, Pimsleur was used by the American army, by mm-hmm. The foreign service, the foreign whatever. It was used by one of the government agencies in America, and I think they do refer to it as audiolingualism, so it obviously does have that. And this idea of the carrot and stick's interesting, and I think it does go to show that this is used by the army. It does kind of point out that sort of negative that you hinted at before, that it is a method that requires self-discipline, and I think that's why probably it's used with these institutes where it's like, look, nobody's going to learn this language for you. Like, you're in the army, boy. Like, you're going to learn the language, right? So sit down and do the drills, right? It's very, like, army style. You know, it is like doing, like, 200 push-ups. Instead, you say, you know, quiero tres perros, like, in 400 different ways, right? Yeah. And it's really that same kind of mechanical repetition. I was interested about when you mentioned the carrot and stick, because when I studied my diploma, I do remember we went into all this stuff about Skinner and behaviorism mm. and how behaviorism, like audiolingualism, was essentially, it was really based on behaviorism. This idea that you have stimulus and response, stimulus, response, stimulus, response, stimulus, response. And when you get carrot, 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 after getting the response right, every time you have stimulus, response, then you turn into Pavlov's dog and you start drooling when the bell goes off or whatever. You know, basically, when you actually want tres perros, you think of the correct phrase for it and go, oh, yes, quiero tres perros, without having to think about it. But what interested me about it is I was wondering, what do the teachers actually do in order to do that kind of carrot and stick thing? And unfortunately, in that video, I don't think we saw any of that. But I would be interested. Is it just praise? You know, is it like, hey, good job, Sam, you got it right. Oh, sorry, Maria, that was bloody awful. Don't ever say that again. Like, how does it? Because I can imagine it in an army setting, you know, it's like, corporal, you know, how do you say, I want three dogs in Spanish? and he says it and he goes, well done, corporal, you know, or, you know, corporal, you're on suspension for the next week. You know, yeah. I can imagine that. But how does it work in a classroom?
I do think that it's baked into the cake. You know, I emphasize the carrot and the stick because it is behaviorism and that's where it originated from. But I don't really think that you can just solely apply it to audio, you know, lingual method, because it's the same in every classroom. When you get stuff correct, you get the carrot. When you get stuff incorrect, you get the stick because you feel bad because you got it wrong. And I think it's just a little bit more apparent with audio lingualism because you just have to repeat the sentence that's given to you. and that's either correct or incorrect. And it's kind of, it's a little bit more straightforward, a little bit simpler than when you do like a communicative language teaching class and you have some sort of activity where you have to kind of construct your own, you know, sentence. And, you know, the teacher might be like, actually, you're in the right area. Let me give you some small corrections. It might not feel like they've used a carrot or a stick because, you know, like they've not outright said that that's right or that's wrong. There's an ambiguity there. So that person feels like maybe they are making progress, but they're not quite there yet. You see what I mean? Whereas with audiolingualism, it's black and white, correct, incorrect, because you didn't copy the sentence that was fed to you. And I see it very similar to the direct method, whereas the direct method, it's just kind of parrot. So the teacher is feeding the sentences to the student, and the student brings back to them. That's the same with audio lingualism, except it's put they're kind of set sentences within often a dialogue, and there's no delay. Like with direct method, I feel like there's opportunities for the student to kind of respond, and then if they don't, they are fed fed it like line by line. With audio lingualism, it's kind of you are given it, then you get it wrong or right, and then you're given it again if you gave it wrong, and then you kind of repeat from there. I find them very similar. But we are actually going to watch a class, and we can kind of see it in action by professionals as we go back to the 1970s again and see how they present it. And I think you'll find it a very interesting.
About a salesman, a special kind of a salesman. Now, you know what a salesman is. That's a person who sells something to somebody else, a salesman. We're going to, today the salesman is a vacuum cleaner salesman. And the other person, here's the vacuum cleaner salesman. And let me write that. The other person is a woman, or we could call her a housewife. So now, I want you to...
Very 17. The other person's a woman, or a housewife.
Watch
another word for a woman.
Try to understand. Okay? Now, I'm the salesman now, okay? I'm going to be both people. I'm going to play two roles. I'm going to be the salesman and the woman.
Oh, I hope he thumbs it up. Let's see.
Oh, yeah, that'll be brilliant. Has he got
ring,
a wig?
Ring, ring, ring. Ring, 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 ring. Now, the woman. Hello? Hello, madam. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town? Yes, of course I would.
I love the fact that the difference between the man and the woman is whether he puts the bow tie on as a tie or in his hair.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
I just don't see him anymore. I just see a woman and a salesman. And then suddenly he's a teacher again.
He's a magician. He should have done the voice.
I love it. I love the...
I mean, there's a great opportunity to do the voice. He's having
then,
fun.
Madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner. No, I don't.
So, oh, no, you didn't.
What? Why not? Because... my husband does the cleaning in our house.
So aww. Why is there no need for a vacuum?
Okay, now listen, and I'll do it one more time.
You just men don't use vacuum cleaners.
We just use our mouths. What?
Salesman. rings the bell. Woman. Good morning. Good morning, madam. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town? Yes, of course I would.
I think they're just looking at him like he's insane.
And madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner. The woman says, no, I don't.
It's amazing that he's remembering word for word.
Why not? And the woman says, because my husband does the cleaning in our house. And the salesman says, oh.
To be fair, that is what he's expecting the students to do.
Yeah.
So he should be able to do it.
We're going to learn this together now. I'm going to help you learn how to say this whole dialogue, okay? So, please repeat. The first line is the woman says, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The salesman says, good morning. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Yeah, I mean, we're back at the sort of synthetic language, aren't we, unfortunately? But it's everywhere, isn't it? I mean, it really seems like it was like the 90s when we started to realize that, you know, there's a big difference between a pronunciation drill where you say, would you like to, and the way that actually people speak, which is, would you like to? Right. It seems like it took until about the 90s for people to really digest that. And, you know, as we've talked about many times, even today, it still hasn't sunk in a lot of places.
Okay. House in town. Just say that much.
House in town.
The cleanest house in town.
That was better.
Okay. Now just group D here. The cleanest house in town.
A little bit.
The cleanest house in town.
A. The cleanest house in... That's okay. The cleanest house in town.
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 Okay, now just you. The cleanest house in town.
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 Cleanest.
Cleanest.
The cleanest house in town.
The cleanest house in town.
Good, very good. Okay. This group. The cleanest house in town.
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 Ah, no, just right now, just this group, okay? That's good. In a minute. The cleanest house in town. Just
the cleanest house in town.
You, ma'am.
The cleanest house in town.
The cleanest house in town. Good. Everybody, the cleanest house in town.
The cleanest house in town.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Okay. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town? Good. Okay, you.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
The cleanest house in town.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Good. Okay. From the beginning now, the woman says, good morning. Everybody, good morning.
Good morning.
The salesman.
So his choral drilling and individual drilling is not the worst example of it that we've ever seen.
It's kind of what I expect.
Language is a bit synthetic, but at least he's taken it down to the individual level as well, and he's actually doing some correction, some OTS correction, and not doing it in the best way. He's just telling them what to say, but at least there's a bit of correction there. Not bad for the 70s.
And says, good morning, madam. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Good morning, madam. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Okay, good. Now the woman says, yes, of course I would.
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 All right, this half of the class. Yes, of course I would.
Yes, of course I would.
This half. Yes, of course I would.
Yes, of course I would.
You, please. Yes, of course I would.
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 Yes, you have to say it with feeling, right? Yes, of course I would.
Well, that's not entirely true, is it? You can't imagine someone actually standing at their door and saying that.
Yeah.
If a salesperson comes round and he goes, hey, would you like to have the cleanest house in town? Because a salesman might actually speak like that. You know, sometimes they're a bit funny, aren't they? Hey, I just wanted to tell you, would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Jazz.
And then they would be like, yes, of course I would. I mean, that's like something you'd see in a TV ad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But okay.
Maybe he's watching too many 50s, 60s shows.
You, sir.
Well, it goes back to that idea that we've talked about loads. It's like it's the token in our head versus the reality. It's the house with the chimney and the square windows that's in our head as a token of a house, but doesn't actually exist. Houses don't actually look like that. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's how we think people would say, yes, I'd like to go to the supermarket today. Actually, people don't speak like that.
Yeah, she's more likely to open the door and go, what do you want? Program.
Yeah, even if you did say, yeah, of course I would, it'd be like, yeah, of course I would. Yeah, of course I'd like, obviously, but I'm not going to buy your product, right? So, cough.
Well, I suppose if it was real, they wouldn't really be carrying on with this back and forth. He'd just be like, hello, and then door slam. End of lesson.
Who are you? Leave me alone. If you knock again, I'm going to call the police.
Well, yes, of course I. Yes.
This is actually one of the issues that I have with audio lingualism, and I'll go into a little bit more detail after. Is that it's often really contrived conversations,
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can put a pin in that. That sounds like a good conversation.
Okay, everybody. Yes, of course I would.
Yes, of course I would.
Salesman says. Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Then, madam, you need an amazing vacuum cleaner.
Vacuum cleaner.
Vacuum cleaner.
Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Hoover vacuum cleaner.
The amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
The amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Okay, this group. Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
All right, you. Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Good, very good, very good. All right, you try it. Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner. Vacuum cleaner, very good. Everybody. Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Now, you remember that we don't write down these dialogues as we're saying them, because at the end of the class, I will give you a copy so you can read it. Right now, concentrate on memorizing it just from the sounds, okay? And later...
That's a really good point.
So, from the beginning, the woman says, good morning.
Good morning.
The man says... Good morning, madam.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning, madam. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Good morning, madam. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Yes, of course I would.
Yes, of course I would.
Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
What? Why not?
What? What? Why not?
What? Why not?
What? Why not?
What? Why not?
Yeah, what? Why not?
What?
Why not?
Okay, use the gesture, see? What? What? Why not?
What? Why not?
Try it with your hands. Use your hands.
What? Why not?
Yeah, what? Why not? And your shoulders. See my shoulders?
Why not?
What? Why not?
So there's a bit of TPR going on there.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I like it. I like it. I think this is going to end up in some sort of role play.
I like it as well. Yeah. He's really labouring the point there at this point. I think.
Yeah.
maybe some.
I think I've yawned a couple
that
of three
involve
times.
Him prompting them would be nice.
Okay. And the woman says, "Because my husband does the cleaning in our house." My husband does the cleaning in our house.
My husband does the cleaning in our house.
Because my husband does the cleaning in our house.
Because my husband does the cleaning in our house.
This group here, please. Just you Just this group. Because my husband does the cleaning in our house.
Because my husband does cleaning in our house.
Okay. Listen to me. Because my husband does the cleaning in our house. Wait, wait. Okay, just you, please. You try it.
Because my husband does the cleaning in my house.
Does.
Does.
Does the cleaning.
Does the cleaning.
Now again. Because my husband does the cleaning in our house. Good, very good. Everybody, because my husband does the cleaning in our house.
Because my husband does the cleaning in our house.
And then the salesman says, oh.
Oh.
No, he's sad. Oh.
Oh.
I will be the salesman, and you, all of you, will be the woman, okay? I'm the salesman. So I ring the bell. Ring, 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 ring.
Okay, something different.
Good morning, madam. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Yes, of course.
Then, madam, you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
No, no.
I do.
What? Why not?
Because my husband has a new house.
Oh. Okay, now we'll change. And you will be the salesman, and I will be the woman, okay? Mm-hmm. Ring the bell, please, ring the bell. Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning, madam.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
The cleanest house in town.
The cleanest house in town.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Yes, of course I would.
Then you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner?
No, I don't. Why not? Because my husband does the cleaning in our house.
Oh.
All right, can we have two volunteers? Two volunteers. Come up, please. And how about a woman now? And
yes.
Hassan, you can be the salesman.
Here she is.
And we need a woman. Sonia, please.
Missed opportunity there.
You begin. Ring the bell.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Some comedy.
Good morning, madam. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Of course.
Then? Then I got the Hoover, amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Then you need this.
You need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Oh, no, I don't.
See, that was a little bit annoying there, wasn't it? Because what that guy actually said was fine. He said, because I've got the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner. That's fine. I mean, he's a salesman. I think we understand the context there.
Yeah.
It would even sound quite natural. I've got a summit for you, you know? And he corrected him. And I guess that's one of the things that maybe we could criticize about the audio linguistic method, that it's a little bit, like, prescriptive, I guess.
That's what I was trying to convey with the difference between, like, the CLT now and this with the carrot and stick. It's, you know, CLT, you go, oh, actually, that's fine. The way you said it is fine. It works within the context. You know, we have multiple different ways to say hello. It doesn't matter, but with this, there's only one right way, and that's why he's correcting it, because it didn't follow that right way, even though what he said, I agree, was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Why not?
Because my husband does the cleaning in our house.
Oh.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't sell it.
Comedy. Comedy gold.
Two more people to do this. Two more volunteers. Two more brave, courageous volunteers. Here's one. Maria? You want to be the salesman?
Yeah.
Saleswoman. Okay. And come on. Yes. Yes, you're the housewife.
This is what he should have been doing from the beginning. Look, he's loving the role.
Good morning,
ma'am. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Great.
Yes, I do.
Of course I would.
Of course I would.
Then you need the amazing Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Oh, I don't.
Why? What not?
Because my husband does the cleaning in my in our house.
Oh, awkward laugh. we're on the precipice of a breakthrough in the civil rights movement here, aren't we? So it's kind of like, oh, is that a thing? Or
well, the reason that I like it as well, you know, there is comedy, but I think that's one of the reasons why I would encourage gender swapping when doing these sort of roles and stuff, because it adds a little comedy because of the friction between reality and what's presented, and it makes it more memorable. Totally, the more memorable that it is, the more emotion that you get going on, the more that they're likely to retain that.
Totally.
Yeah,
100% agree. I don't know if I've mentioned this before about the kind of choral drill that I used to do in classes, and I used to, especially with teens, I used to love the, you know, you do your choral drill, you know, would you like to have the cleanest house in town? Would you like to have the cleanest house in town? Everyone says it, and then it's like, right, all the boys in the girls' voice, would you like to have the cleanest house in town? All the girls in the boys' voice, would you like to have a clean... And they always do, when the girls do a boys' voice, they always make it sound stupid. It's always like, would you like to have the cleanest house in town? I don't know why, but when girls do a boys' voice, they make it sound stupid. And when boys do a girl's voice, they do the... And it always sounds funny. And I actually did that in an observed class and at the British Council. And the girl who observed me, she was good. And she was good in her feedback as well. And she said, it wasn't something that I personally have a problem with. But if X or Y had observed you, they would have like bawled you out for that. Like as in like, you know, speak like a girl kind of thing. And I didn't, you know, her comment was fine because she actually said she didn't have a problem with it. But it kind of made me think, I wonder if they would have actually considered that to be an issue. Because for me, it was just a bit of fun. And I think it is just a bit of fun. You know, I think I'm confident enough to say that I would still do that. And I don't think anyone should be getting offended by that. I mean, it's not even...
Yeah,
like,
and yeah, there's ways around
whatever,
it.
I do,
but it's more speak like a robot, speak really fast, speak really slow. So there's ways around it, but I don't think it should be a problem.
I think specifically the gender dynamics are actually quite funny though.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, yeah, you could say, obviously, couldn't you speak like an old gold prospector? I'd like to have the cleanest house in town. Yeehaw! You know, that kind of stuff's funny, and it does make it memorable. It's kind of drama games, so yeah. No big deal.
Mark Allman's heart is swelling right now.
Grammar practice. Okay. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
What's he doing now?
Prettiest house.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Good. Would you like to have the prettiest house in town?
Would you like to have the prettiest house in town?
That's kind of funny how he actually fed in prettiest house and they automatically substituted it and then he like drilled the substitution. It's like, man, they've already done it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that for me, that would be that's a situation when you kind of you leave it at that. I think if the students do it on their own, then why push it further? You don't have to always be there leading them along.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think that's kind of a celebratory moment. It's like, hey, well done, everyone. Nice. You know, you did it. Okay, again. If you want them to say it again, just again. You know, don't drill again. Let them do it.
Greenest lawn.
Would you like to have the greenest lawn in town?
Would you like to have the greenest lawn in town?
Would you like to have the greenest lawn in town?
Good. Okay. Now, again. This time, individual people, okay? We'll do it again. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Do you like to have the cleanest house down?
Cleanest.
Cleanest.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Do you like to have the cleanest house down?
In town?
In town.
Okay, good. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Do you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like?
Would you like to clean house in
town? Okay, wait. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have a cleanest house in town?
The cleanest house in town.
The cleanest house in town.
Okay.
We didn't see it there, but I'm hoping that he went back to the first.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's what I was thinking. I thought I heard her voice again the second time, because I thought he was like, oh, okay, she's not getting it, so let's give her another model and then come back.
Basically,
otherwise,
yeah.
I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah, and... Yeah, yeah, it'd be weird to let someone like mess up and just be like, oh, okay, you're not getting it, and then just move away from that. Like,
unless that's part of the method, that's like the stick. You just get ostracized from the class.
Hopefully he did go back.
He's
because
just
then
like,
we've got
security.
An example of sort of a peer model.
Remove the bad student, please.
Send in one of the new ones.
Pulls
everybody,
the trap door.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Okay, now you try again, please.
Would you like to clean?
To have the cleanest house in town.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, now.
Okay, everybody, wow. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
The prettiest house.
Would you like to have the prettiest house in town?
Good. The biggest car.
Would you like to have the biggest car in town?
Greenest lawn.
Would you like to have the greenest lawn in town?
Would you like to have the greenest lawn in town?
Would you like to have the greenest lawn in town?
Very good, very good. Now, I will ask the question, would you like to have the cleanest house in town? You answer, yes, of course I would. Yes, of course I would. Okay, I ask the question, you give the answer. Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Yes, of course I would.
Would you like to have the biggest car in town?
Yes, of course I would.
Would you like to have the greenest lawn in town?
Yes, of course I would.
Yes, of course I would.
Yes, of course I would.
Would you like to have the prettiest house in town?
Yes, of course I would.
Now you ask me the questions. Cleanest house, ask me the question.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Yes, of course I would. Prettiest house.
Would you like to have the biggest house in town?
Yes, of course I would. Biggest car.
Would you like to have the biggest car in town?
Yes, of course I would. The greenest lawn.
Would you like to have the biggest lawn in town?
Yes, of course I would, yes.
It's only now, at the end of the grammar drilling, that the students see the printed word.
Okay, now, this time I'll read it, and then you repeat after me. Read it and repeat, okay? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, madam.
Good morning, madam.
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
Would you like to have the cleanest house in town?
So I think it just carries on like that, doesn't it?
Of all the clips that we've looked at with these 70s ancient methods and all that sort of stuff, they've always it's tended to be that the class ends, and they would actually signal that the class ends. So, you know, I extrapolate from that there isn't so much student practice. I think it could be the case that because they're doing the recordings, that they've not factored that in.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because there were some where they clipped it out.
Yeah, I think that there must have been in the real world. I think they must do like a final period practice. It would just make sense. I mean, he even got them standing up and two of them doing it in front of the class. That's a model. The next step after that is to just get them doing it.
Yeah,
I think they must do. I think it's just the recording. I think it's just with the recording, they're just like, we don't need to see the final practice. There's, you know, we want to see the method. We want to see the teacher in these recordings. We're not really interested in the final practice for one reason or another. You know, personally, you know, I think we would see that as a bit of a mistake, missed opportunity. But I think that is probably what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So my thoughts with regards to the audiolingualism method in the classroom is, you know, I don't think it's that bad. You know, the way that he presented it was, to be honest, it got quite boring with the drills. And that's always my problem with, you know, audiolingualism and direct method and all these audio courses and stuff, you know, just repeating the same thing. I think there could have been other ways to make it a little bit more fun, you know, like we mentioned, doing different voices, adding gestures, that sort of thing, and not going so top heavy on that, because what he could always, what I would have done would have been do the drills, do kind of do exactly what he did, but shorten them down. Then do like I liked where it's doing he's one role and the class is the other, and then just start pairing them up and getting them to do different drills, setting timers so I can like slam it and they swap to different partners and stuff, and I can go round and doing individual corrections there while everyone's doing practice. And then I'd probably come back and do like a whole class one, and then I would set them to go out in pairs, and then I'd be like, okay, now here are different ways, different words that you can substitute out. And, you know, like kind of he was doing at the end, you know, instead of cleanest, do prettiest. And then they progressively start to get them to personalize it, right? And that would make it a lot more interesting, a lot more interactive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that would 100% be the way of doing it. For one reason or another, that didn't... They don't show it on those videos. I mean, the way you described it then is... absolutely what's missing. So, you know, c'est la vie, I suppose. C'est la vie. We can imagine it, can't we? And we can see how it would certainly be an extension and how it would work. And I think, you know, how would we bring audiolingualism other than that, which, you know, that obvious point of that's what we think definitely should happen. Other than that, how would we bring audiolingualism into the 20th century? And, well, I think... first of all, you need to have flexibility. The idea that one of the fellas, he didn't say the exact words that were given to him, and that's like a wrong, say it again, here's a correction. That was not on. I think you should allow, the intention here should be the communicative message, not the exact words. That has to be the case. I think there was way, the drilling was so teacher-centric. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to, the teacher-centric drilling should be limited. Use the peers, use the strong students to offer models, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. drill from that. You know, oh, Maria, you've got a good one. Go on. You say the next line. She says it. And then, right, everyone, copy her. You know, everyone copies her. Right. You know, you establish those drilling patterns. So that needs to be in there. I think there was too much drilling in general. I think the students had it before then, you know, really just kind of one drill, one run through, and then off they go. And, you know, they'll help each other out. They'll prompt each other, especially if you say you could do it in groups of three or four. You have two people speaking and then you have two people there to assist. So if either of them gets stuck, then they come in with the prompt, you know. Mm-hmm. So everyone's kind of working together, learning together. And you're already into the practice then, aren't you? Then, you know, I did like the part where he introduced the new words. Would you like to have the prettiest house in town? You know, would you like to have the greenest car or whatever it was, the greenest lawn, you know? Yeah. And there'd be a great opportunity there for students to kind of come up with their own things. You could say, right, you know, would you come up with it? Would you like to have the whatever? And, you know, what product are you going to sell them for that, you know? Would you like to have the nicest smelling armpits in town? Well, I've got the new deodorant.
The hardest shovel.
Plus.
longest hose.
Well, I've got the strongest smelling garlic in town, so you won't be able to smell anything but garlic. You know, it could be a good laugh, a bit of good fun, and people can use their own vocab. And you know, then you get into something, this idea of conversation patterns, which is something I'd quite like to do a video on sometime. I don't know if there's methodology attached to it, but it's one of the things I learned when I was teaching in Japan, because we didn't have any resources. We just had the whiteboard, and using conversation flexible conversation patterns and working with them. And you do these kind of role plays where there's a lot of substitution involved. And it's very similar to this, but it has kind of a lot more flexibility. And through over time, you rub out more and more words on the board in the conversation pattern. So people are having to improvise and role play more and more. And you eventually just go into a complete role play. You know, now I just want you to role play a salesman and a housewife. Go, you know, no rules role play. Go for it. And so it becomes a full kind of full-on freer practice drama game at that point. You know, I think there's a lot of scope for that, actually. I think there's a lot that we can
That sounds fantastic.
In terms of that.
Yeah, and yeah.
I think the one thing, just to finish off my wild rant there, the one thing that's kind of still, I'm still kind of thinking about there is the carrot and stick thing and the way that reward works. It's like you say, it is built into the cake, you're right. But I would probably also build into it like praise, definitely, like nice one, or oh yeah, that's great. You know, I think praise is actually, students do want to be praised by the teacher, they do like it. And I think you can bring that in there. And maybe some other things, you know, scoring systems and stuff like that. I know they're controversial, but I like them. You know, points. Green team doing awesome with that role play. 2 points.
Well, with the carrot and the stick, I think the best example would have been that the woman that got it wrong, you know, that you could feel a palpable, I don't know if shame's the right word, but, you know, like discouragement. You could see it in her face. But this is the problem with behavioralism. You know, the idea is that you get encouraged along by so much stick, or encouraged along to go towards a carrot or to move away from the stick. But sometimes with behavioralism, it can just be the case that you just get the stick, and that just discourages you. It stacks on the opposite side, you know. You're not getting enough wins.
It's kind of like you're getting it. It's almost like you're being punished for being in an English class. Then,
yeah.
It's like, well, I don't want to learn English then.
And I think that's what happens with a lot of people in English classes when they don't come back, because, and I think that's solely down to the grading and the identification of levels for the students by the teacher or by the institution that they're going to. You know, like they've either set. That when they're set too high, so it's really important that you get the level right, and so it's enough that it's a challenge, but not too much that they're constantly going to get it wrong and then reinforce, you know, that negativity. But in regards to what I was about to say before, I wholly agree with what you're talking about in Japan. It sounds absolutely fantastic, and that's the way I would go with the audio lingualism. And it bleeds into when I use these kind of Pilmser-esque stuff. Is I listen and I will repeat, but you know, like after the first time, I'm starting to think of other vocabulary that I've got this sentence structure in that I can switch out, you know, like they did towards the end of the class. And then I practice these different scenarios in my head of these interactions with other people. And that's how I see audio lingualism working, is it gives you these sentence structures, and for most learners, it's just, I'm just going to repeat this, I'm just going to repeat this, and then they think they're going to learn it. But the more that you kind of personalize it, the more that you use previous vocab that you've learned and see, oh, can I put this into this new sentence structure that I've acquired, the more it feels like you've taken control over your learning. And that's what's really helped me with actually engaging more with this particular method. And it, I think it, that's what seems to help with those students and the method that the activity that you talk about in Japan, I can see it working in the same way, if not better.
So you mean when I was doing audiolingualism on my own, learning Spanish?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the main addition there, in addition to obviously the translation aspect of how do you say this in Spanish, how do you say that in Spanish, the main addition was I had a writing bit, which isn't in the instructions. So it was like, okay, how do you say I want three dogs in Spanish? And I would actually say it, but I would pause the recording. So I would say it, and then I'd write it and say it. Quiero tres perros, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'd play the recording. So it was actually bringing in kind of writing and reading and stuff as well. And I actually think that really helped. I think it really helped my reading in Spanish. I think it really helped my reading and writing in Spanish to do that. So it was kind of like practicing all four skills at once. So that was an interesting addition.
Yeah, and Spanish really being phonetic as well, then, yeah, I can see that really helping.
Definitely. Yeah, because I probably wouldn't do that with English, you know.
It'd be quite difficult
at the same time.
Yeah, you'd have to have some sort of reference that you can look at to just check that it's correct. But I could see it as being good in terms of, oh, this is how you say it and this is how it looks. But yeah, I'm not sure about that. And one last point that I do want to bring up with audiolingualism, especially with the audiobooks and I think that class as well, is the conversations, the dialogues that they have are often really contrived. And, I just can't really see anyone really using that particular dialogue, all those sentences, that much in real life. And what I found with the audiobooks as well is often they have these crazy sentences, and I think it'd be so much better to have sentences that are just, you know, kind of they might seem a little bit weird or boring, but just, you know, that are more used to day to day. Like, I never hear them, you know, these things starting about with sentences like, what's this? It's blah 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 blah, you know, what have you, you know, like structures that we would use all the time. Is this a blah blah blah, is that a blah blah blah, or, you know, I have a brother or a sister or what, I don't know, do you know, kind of build it up in the same way that they do with curriculums. Some of the audiolingual stuff I've seen is just like,
yeah, it's kind of like,
what are you doing, what scenario are you thinking
of in
your head?
They focus too much on making it dramatically interesting rather than authentic language. But that was a 90s thing anyway, like the idea of authentic materials and authentic language, it really became popular in the 90s. So these older methods, they don't worry too much about authentic materials, you know, people weren't really talking about that back then. So yeah, that's really what you're talking about. Totally. I mean, authentic, nothing beats authentic materials, and the 100% best way of getting authentic materials is to get authentic materials, you know. It's just like, you don't write it, you find it in the real world, you know. Find a little recording of someone having a conversation. One of the things I do is I make a lot of my own audio, and I just have me talking about something, but I don't do it as like a class audio. I don't think like, oh, when I'm recording this for a class. I don't get in that mindset. I get in the mindset of just, how would I actually answer this question if someone asked me. So, you know, if the question is, what's one of your favorite films from the 80s, you know, and I spoke about the 90s, actually, I spoke about The Truman Show, and I just spoke about, you know, just like, oh, one of the things that I like is The Truman Show, and, you know, it's interesting because you've got Jim Carrey, who's You know, he's normally a comedian, a comedy actor, but this film is a little bit more serious for him, and it has this kind of overlay. It has this theme of this philosophical theme of is this the real life, or you know, is it some sort of synthetic, some sort of simulation? And I find that really fascinating. So I just talked about it like that, you know, and I think then you get these kind of really nice, authentic audios. And then you structure the language around that. So you listen to that and you go, well, what language am I using? What can I do a class about based on that? Not like, oh, I want to teach the present perfect, so now I'm going to record my scripted audio, which has a load of present perfect in it. Instead, do the audio first, look at that, do an analysis of it, and say, right, what language am I using in this audio?
Yeah. I can see that. I see that as being a better way. But then the pushback is, how do you get the more functional sentences that people can when you go basic? Because all these audio methods start really basic, right? So it's hard to imagine how you would authentically talk in a basic way in a different language, you know what I mean? Because you're already so advanced. And I think that's where it hits the wall of being synthetic, because no matter what you do, it's going to be synthetic because you're a fluent native speaker. So how would you even,
I think I lost you there, Neil. What?
Yeah. When you're thinking of doing these an audio program or something like that, like Pilmsler, like you're going to create one. If you were to create one,
right? Oh, right. Yeah.
How would you do it where you maximize the authentic language and language that's going to be most needed for beginners? You know, complete new people to practice that would help them the most to get them started with English, authentic way. You see what I mean?
So I think that's one of the most difficult things, is getting authentic materials for beginners. I think it is possible. I think it is possible, but you do need to be a bit selective. I mean, you can't just present a beginner with an advanced audio, and you can, I guess, a little bit work with it, but for beginners, there are other things to do. So it is useful if you can restrict the vocabulary and things like that. I mean, one of the things that you can possibly do is just find someone who naturally speaks a bit slower, you know, and there are people like that. There are people who speak a little bit slower. They still use weak forms and things like that, but they might speak a little bit slower. Mr. Rogers, you know, he's kind of quite a slow speaker, you know, even because if you watch that hearing with the Senate committee, he speaks pretty slow to the senator, you know.
He speaks in a very considered way.
I like to blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he does. But that's his natural way of speaking. So, you know, I think that you can get that, and then it is authentic, and you still get the weak forms and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, there is kind of also developing an actual acting skill where you do script it, but then you act it in an actual way. Typically, people are terrible at that. You know, I mean, you have to be an actor. You know, it's not easy to actually read a script in a realistic way rather than a synthetic way. You have to have an element of role play in your mind, where you are getting into the role and you're not necessarily, don't worry too much about reading word for word. I find whenever you try and read a script word for word, you always go to synthetic mode. It's very hard for it to come out authentically in a normal way. So probably the way that I would do it is I'd have a list of like keywords that I'd want the actors to use, and then we'd sort of role play the conversation a couple of times and choose the one that's best suited to the level. So, you know, if you can't, you just kind of run through the conversation, say, look, just role play it. You know, you're pissed off and you want a car and whatever, and have a chat now. And here's a list of keywords, you know, want car, you know, can you help, this kind of stuff, or key phrases that you want them to throw in there at some point. Look, can you help me with this car? But I'd still want it to be authentic. You know, I want it to be, can you help me? Not can you help? Because I don't think there's any need to ever teach someone can you help. Yeah. I think it should always be can you help, even at a basic level. I think it should just start them off with it, you know, because I've been playing around with Japanese. That's how I'm learning my Japanese, you know. If I went back and studied Spanish again, because my Spanish is super rusty now, but if I did, it's definitely the way that I would do it. You know, they wouldn't just get straight in with the phrases.
I agree. So that's why I don't think you can really chuck out all your lingualism and why it's still around, because I think one, it's when it's done well, when you have the phrases, it makes it learning a language easier, because, you know, if you're doing it piece by piece and then you're putting it together and you say, can you help me, then you aren't getting the ear, because what you hear compared to real life is completely different. So when it's always in phrases, you should have the authentic connectors between all the words and stuff. And also, I think one of the real big benefits of audio lingualism is that it can be, although we ragged a little bit on it being so rigid, that rigidity allows someone that's maybe not a language teacher per se, more of an instructor, to just be given a course and they just go and drill and run through that, and then those people can put it into an audiobook and they can listen into it after the class. So it's very structured, and that helps.
Yeah.
But do you have any final thoughts on audiolingualism? Audiolingual method.
I think there's things to be taken from it. I think we can hybridize it with communicative language teaching. We can talk about the kind of flexible conversation patterns and the way you can use them. And I think there is quite a lot of utility to be had there. I definitely don't think it should be written off. On the other hand, I don't think it should be done in the way we saw in the video. That's definitely historical. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely things to work with that. Not everything, not that everything's bad about it, but the synthetic language wasn't good. There was way too much repetition. The fact that when someone said something that was off script, it was like bad or got a correction, that wasn't particularly great. So definitely things to improve upon there. But I think, you know, I think there is something to be said for it, as there are for every single language learning method, has something about it that we can take away and still use today. And I do think that with audiolingualism, there is something. Would you be able to make an actual good, as you were kind of hinting at before, a good recorded course that someone could do at home that is using authentic language? Yeah, I think you could. I don't think it would be easy by any means, but you absolutely could. I think the main thing is the actors or teachers that you had doing the conversations, you'd need them to be really, really good. They'd have to be really good at what they do, because, as you say, they'd have to hit the language points but also keep the conversation authentic. So it would be a little bit tricky, but certainly possible. And then the other question about that would be, you know, would you keep the L1 element or not? And I think it'd be great to be able to do away with it. But I wonder if you could do like sort of not just audio, but kind of an audio video combination, and then use sort of symbols, you know, universal symbols and direction to kind of help, you know? Mm-hmm. And then maybe you could just have purely L2. because you've got these kind of visuals to help things go along. Like, this is the repeat visual, this is the listen visual, you know, this is a picture of a dog, so you know that dog means dog, you know. So it's something like that could be interesting.
That's a whole different level of kind of like symbolism. But, you know, that's what they do with UI design, user interface design, you know, and I think it just needs a little bit of building, either with what we have as visual representations of different symbols, and just getting people used to that. Maybe they would have some sort of introduction part where they would be like, and this symbol means blah blah blah, or in whatever language. But it's interesting, and I think there's scope out there. So we will be following this video up with a React video to another class of audio lingual method, one that's done by a teacher nowadays, so we can kind of see how it's done in modern times. You know, see, they probably have some sort of hand puppets, something like that. So remember to subscribe and click on the bell to make sure that you get that update, and have a look through our video feed. And if you have any thoughts, please leave them in the comments below. Bye.
Bingo. Just started coughing. Like,
if you're looking for more information from myself, you can go to teamteacherchina.com. We've got a whole bunch of materials, PowerPoints that you can use instantly in the classroom. We've got a Team Teacher China YouTube channel where we have videos teaching you how to use those materials. Team Teacher English, where we put those materials into a video form for self-study. And Team Teacher Baby, where I take my experience as a teacher and put that into parenting.
And go to youtube.com slash Professor Rich to see some English teaching. You can catch me weekly live streams on Oxford Online English YouTube channel. Oh, and also you can do a YouTube search for POG Space UK, and you would get my alpha version of my new gaming channel, which actually just have some trial content on there at the moment. You can email us here at eltundercovers@gmail.com if you have anything you'd like to contribute to the show.
Smash that like button, share and subscribe.
And watch 100% of the video and don't click off. Thank you.
Bye.